Now I better start recording. We're talking about Billy Graham. And, you think about it, way back at the beginning for him, okay, during his life when he was at Wheaton and maybe at the very beginning of when he started doing his crusades, he didn't know it was all going to wind up the way it did. He didn't know about the Cove, and he didn't know about the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and all the things that would come out of that, because we can look back and say, well, look, of course, he had it made. Look how good it was. Well, he had no idea of those things happening. He was an itinerant preacher who said, well, let's just set up some tents in Los Angeles or in different other cities around the country, and I'm going to preach the gospel. And that's what he did. Again, he did it by stepping out in faith. Amen. And being a wonderful witness of the gospel. He was living out, excuse me, his adventure in the gospel, wasn't he?
So,
we in our own lives mourn his loss, but we rejoice for him that he has graduated to this next place. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, I do want to talk to you about the Africa trip, and so I have lots of pictures to show you. This is going to be a boring slide presentation, so y'all want to get where you can see, okay? And I'm going to try and use this thing and see if we can make it work. Yeah, it works. Okay. So, as you know, I went to Uganda, and just in case you don't know where Uganda is, I'll show you. It's that little country right there, next to Kenya. This one is Congo over here, right? That little teeny country there.
Brownish country.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. It's a huge continent, but Uganda's a fairly small country. I'd say it's probably smaller than North Carolina. So, that's where we went to. We flew up to Amsterdam, and then we came straight down over the Alps and over the Mediterranean and over the desert in North Africa and wound up down there. So that's where we were. And after a rest day, and you guys may have read the journal that I did, and there are copies available of it. Is that right? Paper copies if you're interested. So if you'd like to read it, you're welcome too. So after our rest day, then Father Don's friend, Caleb, took us to this orphanage. And so one of the things that they do with visitors, they ask you to plant a tree for them. And so mango trees, banana trees, that sort of thing. And so this is Barb Key, who was Dr. Key's wife, who went with us as a prayer warrior, is planting her tree. And, of course, all the orphans around. And they were wonderful, beautiful children. The area around Kampala, and I guess this happens in every pretty much city in Uganda, is that if people have too many children, they abandon them. And so they wind up living on the street. In fact, the guy who runs the orphanage, Caleb, was also abandoned and lived on the street for 10 years as a child before somebody sponsored him and gave him education. So he was able to start this orphanage and is a wonderful, wonderful saint of God. So let's see. This is a brand new building they've just built for this orphanage. It's not finished yet. When it is, it's going to be wonderful, as you can see. I mean, it looks great. It's at least, I think it's 3 stories high. So it's going to be a wonderful place for the kids to go to class, have school there. All right. So then you heard about the van and the van trip. So this is where the adventure began. So we got up early that morning and we got ready and filled this van up, and then we saw all these boxes we're supposed to take because they were supposed to have been shipped the day before, and they didn't get shipped. So there are 26 boxes of medicines that we had to try and find a way to fit into the van, and they just wouldn't fit. So we had to take some of the parts out and take little boxes out and things like that. And this was back in there is where I had to go. You know, we might turn off one of those lights. You might be able to see a little bit better. Right. Just the one on this end. How about that? But that was my little cubby hole way in the back there for 8 hours in the heat. So, as you can see, it was pretty well packed to the roof. So, that works. Okay, thank you. All right. And once we got there, you can see how full it was. So that's in the back window. We were just kind of throwing things back there after a while. So it was full of all kinds of prescription medications that we took along with us. Father Don had raised a lot of money to buy all this medicine in Kampala And so that's how it got done. It's interesting, Father Don did ride to Bundibugyo the day before we got there. There's a big bus that takes people across the country, you know, it looks like a Greyhound bus, kind of like that, and we saw it driving back and forth, and he said that on his ride across the country, the bus broke down. And, you know, they pack people in there, I mean, really tightly. And if he had had all this medicine with him, it would have been impossible because they had to transfer to a new bus, which they sent along after a little while. And then they went on for a while, and then that bus broke down. And so he had to transfer to another bus. And so it took him like 10 or 12 hours to get to Bundibugyo compared to R8. So we didn't feel so bad after we learned that. It's funny. So this is Bishop Hannington, and he's helping to unload this stuff. He's going like, my God, who are these people? What were they doing in this van? This is the hotel we were staying in, which fortunately is a very nice, pretty modern place and was pretty comfortable for us. There's my bed. Wasn't that nice, huh? The mosquito netting is not optional. You have to have that. And it worked for the most part, but not completely. So, but it was a comfortable place to stay. This is kind of the view of the town from the third floor of the hotel. And you can see there's a big mountain range behind us. We had come around that mountain range. It's called the Mountains of the Moon. And so Bishop Hannington's diocese is called the Diocese of the Mountains of the Moon. So, as you can see, it's a nice little town. This town, probably 2,000 or 3,000 people, maybe, something like that. Not real big. The next day, we went to, obviously, a little bit of a tour to find out how things were going. And so we went to Bishop Hannington's church. This is his cathedral. And it's in the town of Bundibugyo, so it was easy to get there. As you see, we got out, and there's the church, and we had several guests who came and visited us during our trip there. And this fellow right here is Bishop Eric, who is our bishop from the Congo. And he came over to visit us while we were there. So we saw him a couple of days as well, too. Now, anytime you have questions as we're going through this, please feel free to, you know, interrupt me if you have a question. I'm happy to answer. Again, this whole compound is a walled-in compound. And you just saw the church over on that side. Over on this side is a two-story place, and the upstairs is Bishop Hannington's house. It's where he lives. The other buildings around there, that green one that's low there, is a kitchen, and then there are other buildings there for the kids, because this is also a school, and it's a boarding school. And this CEC church boards 120 children and teaches them. And so that's one of the classrooms back there. It's not quite finished yet, but I think they were using it anyway. We got there about lunchtime, so the kids were getting ready to have lunch. Again, the compound, as you can see, and the kids live back in that area. To get a good education in Uganda, you have to board your children. You have to send them somewhere to live, to get this education. Bishop Hannington lamented about that one time, talking about how the dinner table has been destroyed in Uganda because the children had to go away, to go somewhere else, and couldn't be raised with their family. So he's doing his best with that. So there was a young girl who was getting ready to go to secondary school, and she wanted to become a nurse and didn't have a bag to go, you know, on her travels because she was going to have to travel for this. And one of the things that I learned from Haiti is you go to Goodwill and you buy luggage, okay, and then you fill that luggage with stuff, you take it with you, and then you leave it all there. And so we gave her the bag, so she got to have a bag. We'd also filled it with toys for the kids, so we were able to give all those toys. The lady on the left side is Wendy, the paramedic who went with us. And the gentleman over on the other side is Robert. That's Bishop Hannington's son. And he's the one who drives everybody around. That's his truck. So she was actually speechless. She really was just overwhelmed by this gift. And so it was a wonderful thing to be able to give that away. Some of the kids who were boarded there, they were getting ready to eat, you see, and we were interrupting their meal, so they weren't too happy. One of them wasn't too happy. They all wear uniforms, and they're beautiful children, and very well behaved.
What ages are the children?
Well, they have, it's called primary school. They, you know, go by the English system, so it's primary and secondary school, and so these kids go up to probably 14 or 15 from 6 or so. Yeah, so that's it. So you can see they're beautiful children, just beautiful people. They carry themselves with such grace. He gathered us all together for an assembly, since it's a school, inside Bishop Hannington's church, and he's addressing all the kids. The teachers are in the back, and they could ask us questions, and I told them they needed to study hard if they wanted to go into medicine. It took a long time, and so somebody asked me how long, and I told them 10 years, and they said, they didn't say anything after that, so that was it. And I'm hoping at the end of the slides I have a couple of little video clips. I did very short clips since there's not a lot of storage space on a phone, you know, and I have them singing us a song, so you'll get to hear that at the end. So let's see. This is Bishop Hannington's church towards the altar, as you can see, very colorful. And across here, all of these little hearts are things the Church of the Reconciler in Birmingham did, their kids, their young people, did as a gift to send to Bishop Hannington. So they hung them up there, and they all have, you know, encouraging messages on them, and it was really a blessing to have those. And his altar says New Beginnings.
Do a lot of them speak English?
You know, if you've been educated in Uganda, you speak English. So Swahili and versions of that, tribal versions of that, is the native language. But anybody who has been educated is taught English. So a lot of people do, and a lot of those children spoke English, yes. This is Father Don Richards. He is the assistant rector at Church of the Reconciler in Birmingham. He is the guy who's been going to Africa in general for 18 years or so, and probably has done a whole lot to unify the CEC in Africa. A wonderful, sweet guy.
Mark Finley's
assistant, right, in Alabama. And he usually spends about a month in Uganda every February, and he has a counseling practice back in Birmingham. He told us a number of stories, some interesting things. He's done a lot of work in Kenya as well with the Maasai, and told us some interesting stories about things that he was pretty much made to eat if he wanted to, you know, have any favor with them. So I won't go into all the details of that. But he's gotten over a number of illnesses over his life. A city, the average view of the street in Bundibugyo outside the hotel. The difference, and it's interesting about Uganda compared to Haiti, was that, I was surprised about this, is that Father Don said, it's safe for you to walk down the street. You're fine. Just go ahead. It's okay. In Haiti, you can't do that because you will get abducted for ransom. But it's pretty safe to do that as long as you're not in Kampala, the big city you could get abducted in. But a place like this, we could walk around, go to the market, whatever you'd like to do, which was really a nice thing. And a common sight that you'd see on the side of the road. Obviously, there are a lot of bananas there, a lot of banana trees. And I'd like to see any of you put this many bananas on a bicycle. Pretty amazing, but very common picture that you'd see all over the place. And, of course, they sell these bananas. And they actually taste very good, much better than any bananas we have. This is the medical clinic. The next day we got to go, or actually that same day we finally went to the clinic. We had to organize all the medicines. We couldn't see any patients this day because it took us most of the time just to get all the medicines organized. This is about 20 kilometers outside of Bundibugyo in another town called Basunga. And it's a small town, 500 or 600 people probably. And Basunga has a CEC church, and this medical clinic is part of it. And it was built by another organization about a year ago, and doesn't have a whole lot inside of it, not a lot of furniture or anything like that, but it's two buildings, actually. And the lower building is a maternity ward, and they have two nurse midwives that live here. And this young fellow in the red pants you see there is also a nurse, and he lives there and volunteers as well, too. His name is Peter, and he was the one I was telling you about who would love to go to get his next level of nursing education. So I have been talking to him on email. This is us organizing all of that medication. Fortunately, there was a table, as you can see. They have some beds in there, and somebody had just donated a bunch of mattresses, some of which weren't already there yet. But it'll be a real wonderful thing when they have mattresses for the beds, won't it? So a lot of medicines to arrange, but really useful, useful stuff. From outside in the courtyard of the medical clinic, this is the view that you see. And it's got its own courtyard, you see, with the little gate there over by where the truck is. And then up on the hill is the church. And this is the CEC church in Busunga. And the big tan building is the sanctuary. And then over on this side is their school. So they have a school for kids. And this was a weekday that we went there, and there was music rocking out of that place. Let me tell you, it was amazing. And I think I got a little video of that. If the sound comes through, we'll see. So, but it's really an impressive thing. Below the medical clinic is this little building, which is the kitchen. Okay, and you say, kitchen? That's a mud hut. Well, yes, but they all cook over open fire, charcoal fire, and you don't want to do that inside. It's already hot enough, let me tell you. So this is a better way to do that. So this is actually one of the best mud huts I saw in the country. It has a metal roof on it, so it's really pretty high class. It's pretty good stuff. All right, there's a nice picture of nothing. And let's see if we get any more. Uh-oh. Did it pop out on us? I know there are more slots somewhere in there.
The predominant religions in Africa, and what percentage?
Well, so Christian and Muslim. There were a number of Muslims, and we did see a number of mosques. As you're driving by, you'll see a lot of mosques. There were a couple of mosques I saw even in Bundibugyo as well, too. I don't know what the percentage is of Christians versus, but there are also a number of other churches, too. I mean, there's, if you look at Google, you'll see there's a church on every street corner in Bundibugyo. Yeah?
Many of the governments in Africa are very corrupt.
Yes.
And how is the view of Uganda?
Yeah, it's better than it used to be. And I could actually see, and it's interesting to compare it to another country I've been to, Haiti. They actually are doing some things for their people. And so there are some programs. Now, some of it obviously is helped by the UN. The UN helped build the big road that goes out to Bundibugyo. And they also are supporting a program for HIV there. So HIV, in the 80s, there were 30% of the population infected with HIV. And that's down to 8% now. And it's because of a great program that they have. And one of the things that they do is they will provide free testing for anyone for HIV in the country. And if they have it, or if they test positive for it, they can take the suppressive medicine free for the rest of their life. Now, that medicine in the United States costs people over $2,000 a month. And these people can get it for free. So it has cut the death rate dramatically in the country. And so, you know, the government has provided some of that, too. So, any luck, Daniel? Is it going to work? Huh?
There weren't any more slides.
Oh, there have to be some more. So, let me go see what I can do.
There's a laser pointer. He don't have to walk up. He could just be using the laser pointer.
Yeah,
except it doesn't show up on the screen.
Oh, and that one worked.
It gets absorbed by the screen.
Never mind.
See, it just goes away.
It's just another color pixel.
Right.
You could use that sword.
Actually,
let's see.
Yeah.
It's not quite. We prayed against electronic glitches.
It's going well for a while, man.
That's a black bear at night.
Starless black.
Is what it looks like when it's asleep.
So not all of them got on the PowerPoint, I apologize. But there are a few pictures on here, which you can see. Hopefully none of them are embarrassing. I don't know. So, you know, the day after our clinic day, we did go up to the church for worship. That was Sunday. And this is the church in Busunga, Busunga Charismatic Episcopal Church. It sits way up on top of a hill above everything else surrounding this small town. You can't miss it from anywhere. I mean, it's just impressive, and it's just right up on the crest of this hill. See if you can get another picture to come up. We'll just figure out whatever they are. Oh, there you go. A little close-up of it. Keep on going. So we went to worship, and the church, as you can see, is very nice inside. It was very full, lots of people there. And the gentleman in the purple is Archdeacon Timothy, who works for Bishop Hannington as his archdeacon. And so we had a wonderful worship service. I'll tell you a little more about the details. If you can stop it, we'll go through it. So anyway, at the beginning of the service, here we go, before it changes, this is, yeah, that guy was Father Wilson, and so he was bringing all the children up to bless them before going off to Sunday school. So they're all reaching their hands up for the blessing. So wasn't that wonderful? Father Wilson's an incredible, exciting man for God. So then we went back outside the church, and we had to dedicate this church because it was brand new. And so if you can keep it there, I'll try to show you a couple things. They asked Father Don to do the blessing over the church and cut the ribbon. And then Bishop Pennington right there did the dedication. There you go. So you can kind of see that. And Bishop Pennington again dedicated the church. There I am over in the corner. This gentleman, interestingly, he was the minister, and so I was like, oh yeah, minister, that means he's like some local pastor. No, he's the minister for the area, a government minister. He's a minister of parliament for Uganda, who came to the opening of this church. So he's the minister of agriculture for the whole country. So he got up and spoke during the service as well, too. So,
nice.
Let's move along. And the local mayor came as well, too. So you can see Father Don coming out of the church. Okay. Let's see what else we got there. Bishop Pennington's church. Church. Kids. That may be about it.
These are the earlier ones, yeah.
There I am. Okay, so there's the preaching. Barb took a picture. I got up to preach to the church. And if you remember, back at Christmas, we talked about Jesus being the gift of God to the world. And then in Epiphany, I told you that because you are in Christ, what the bishop was talking about, then you carry the gift of God into the world. You are the gift of God to the world. And so that's the message that I gave to them as well. And I handed out a picture of you guys that we had taken the day before, you know. And I had about 75 copies and I gave them out. And so I took a picture of them with their pictures. And I brought pictures back to give to you of their congregation, because I don't know if that picture is going to come up there. Would you pass those out? And what I'd like to do is have one for every household and take those there. I told the people that to look at each of the faces on their picture, that they needed to pray for you. That they were to pray for you on a regular basis. Before the service, I had asked Father Don, you know, would that be okay if I give them pictures? And he said, they will treasure it always. That's the way they're going to treat the pictures that they got of you people. And so I took a picture of them. And if you look really closely in those, some of them are holding up their pictures. So you might be able to see that if the picture worked out well enough. So again, this church that we were in is a different church than Bishop Hannington's. This is one of Bishop Hannington's priests' church, Father Wilson, the rector at that church. So we did not worship in Bishop Hannington's church, but this was a pretty special occasion, I'm going to tell you. And to be given the opportunity to preach to them was a wonderful thing. But I told them that they were the gift to Busunga, and they were the gift to Uganda, and they were the gift to the world. Just like you are. So, I'm telling you now to pray for these people. Okay? And this is the church after the kids have gone out to Sunday school. And you see how full it is. So, This church, as you can look in that picture, you might be able to see there are some plastic chairs, you know. And they don't own those chairs. They had to borrow them. There are no chairs that are normally in the church, okay? Here we are processing back in, and you've seen all the bananas already. Oh, yeah, I don't know what that was. Something at the zoo. We did get to go to the zoo. There I am seeing a patient and some of the cots stood up in the corner. Well, in their clinic, that's where this was, we saw patients. They came in and saw us. We had a translator who was with us, and he would, if they didn't know English, they would tell us what their problem was, and we wrote prescriptions for them after examining them. And a lot of people have worms, parasites, and so fortunately you can give a one-time pill for that, and that takes care of the worms until they come back again because of the water system. Some people have malaria. Some people have typhoid. Some people have just colds or the flu or all kinds of those sorts of things. We saw children. We saw adults. We saw old people, somebody as old as 100 years old, which imagine living to 100. So lots of different things.
How many doctors see you in a day?
Well, so there was me in one room. There was Dr. Key in another room. There was Wendy in another room with a medical student. There was the nurse midwife in another room. And then the laboratory people came from the hospital in another room. And so between all of us, we saw 500 patients that one day. So, yeah, pretty amazing between all of us. So I probably saw 100 people that day.
Billy's got a question.
Yes.
Do they have a curfew there, sir?
They don't. They don't. No. Mostly after, I'd say in the rural areas, after dark, things settle down pretty much and get quiet. There's not a lot of electricity for one reason, so it's not really light. In the cities, sounds would go on for quite a while in the evening, but outside, and that's no obvious curfew. In Basunga, or in Bundibugyo, there was a police presence, and you'd see them from time to time. So again, there's Wendy taking care of a patient in her room as well. Again, Father Don.
Are there many other Christian denominations in the area?
Yes, yes. There was an Anglican church right across the street from our hotel, and so they were worshiping one day. It was pretty neat. Found in two.
Right,
right. So I think it's better. So, and one of the things that Bishop Jones mentioned was how much favor Bishop Hannington has in Uganda. It's amazing. So he has gotten things pretty stable and doing really well in that region, I would say. I don't know about the rest of the country. So the Muslims are still contending for that hilltop church. They would love to have that because they want to put mosques on top of hills, of course. But they don't have it. So after church, we went and they did a cultural presentation for us, which was a native dance kind of stuff. And it was pretty cool. And this was the chief, and he was a pretty impressive fella, I tell you what. And it's cool because right at this point, it was raining lightly on us, which, in Uganda means you brought a blessing with you. So I don't know if they were praying for rain, but it was pretty cool.
And it wasn't the rainy season, was it?
No, it wasn't. But it's pretty cool, and they all danced in rhythm. They danced, all together. They're very good together, and I don't know how to do it, kind of. Kind of like that. And one of the guys, yeah, that's the closest I get. So Bishop Hannington said that his wife always tells him, he says, you're a wonderful dancer when you're sitting down. You get your arms going right, and it's good. But when you stand up, it's not good. Bishop Hannington had lots of sayings. He's a funny guy, let me tell you. And he'd say, you can always tell when I'm telling you the truth, when I'm not joking with you, I'm smiling. And we're like, what? But you're smiling all the time. How do we know when you're not joking with us? He said marriage counseling advice was this. He said, there's only one thing that you can ever say no to your wife about. Everything else you must say yes. But when she asks you for money, you can say no. Now, if she asks you for a dress, then you have to give that to her, okay? And then that means that you have a wise wife. he's a funny guy. Let's see. Any other pictures? Didn't see anything else different up there, did you? No, didn't. Again, we went back to the clinic a second day. We saw at least another 400 or 500 patients, and it was really cool because the local doctor, there's one doctor in the hospital in Budubujo, which is a government-run hospital, and you know, I have to pay to go there, so a lot of people don't go there. But he came out and to see patients with us. He spent the day with us seeing patients because he'd known that this clinic was going to happen. So it was really a wonderful thing of favor that he showed up and he brought his laboratory people with him. So it was amazing. It really was. And I promise, since my slides didn't all come through on this PowerPoint, to bring more next week. Or no, I might actually may be able to find you some more on there. So a couple things. Let me do that real quick first. And then we'll move on. So I brought back a few things to show you. Money. There's 1,000 shillings. Man, you get this? You are really doing well. 1,000 shillings worth about 30 cents each. Nice. And coin, 200 shillings. That's about worth about a nickel. So, let's see. I'll be happy to pass it around. I don't see one. No, just animals. Looks like a gazelle or a an impala, possibly, because they have impalas there, too. Yeah. And then, wow, my favorite. This was the beer. They have good beer. Good. It's called Nile. Nile. Yes. Also, the orphans, you know, one of the things that they're teaching the orphans in that first orphanage to do is some of them want to be seamstresses, and so they are sewing. And they sew things really well. They do a great job. And so we bought some things, several things. Amanda got something, her bag there, and Kaylee got one too. And these oven mitts, which I'd like to give to the church, so they'll be useful in the parish hall. Okay? So that will be here to remind you of Africa. And I also bought this, which is a very nice reed-made bowl, which I wanted to use for an offering plate. So this will be a new offering plate. Father Bill will bless it for us. And so we've got that. And so that is about it. Just get all this stuff together.
So there is some economy and some commerce.
Yeah. You know, in the rural places that we passed on the way to Budubujo, I think I mentioned in the journal that it looked very primitive, and some of those mud huts were what people live in back there. And of course, they bring their bananas out and they sell them to other people who sell them up the chain. And those people must live very, very, very primitively. The houses that we visited sometimes had electricity, sometimes didn't. None of them have running water. They all get their water from jugs, and they go and they get it and buy it, and that's what they use, even in the nice houses, except, of course, for the hotel where they have a big old thing up on the roof, you know, that runs the water there. Yeah.
What about the man that you prayed for that the witch doctor had
right. So they kind of carried that fella in, you know, because he couldn't walk. And as I examined and looked at his legs and feet, you know, they were a little bit swollen and somewhat atrophied, you know. And this had happened like 9 months before. And so I said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, I can't walk because the witch doctor put a curse on me. The little town of Basunga has had lots and lots of spiritual battle. They have a local, you know, medicine doctor there. And it also is right on the border of the Congo, and that's where the first place where the rebels came through and, you know, just wiped out the whole city. So the folks are really just now bringing it back after 5 years. But that spiritual battle still goes on. So again, I prayed for him, and I said, come on, stand up. And so he was able to stand up, but he didn't really believe me. And so he kind of like this, you know. And so I said, okay, you're going to have to start working on this and get your muscles back, and you got to keep getting stronger. And I had the fellows help him out, but he did limp out on his own, which was pretty amazing. And so I know Barb was out there praying for people, and so she continued to pray for him as well, too. So again, I didn't see any of the dramatic healings that, you know, you've heard from Bishop Jones or any of that that we know of. You know, it's possible that those happened, but I didn't see them. We may hear about them later. I hope so. But it was amazing stuff. Another patient had high blood pressure, 220 over 120 or something like that. She was probably in her late 60s, and a bad heart murmur over on this side, which was probably aortic insufficiency. And then she had a carotid aneurysm up here in her neck that was just going boom, boom, boom. And I was like, hey, I don't want to touch that. And so she's the one that I told she needed to go to the hospital. So I hope that she went. So that's pretty much all I know about her, though. Yes, sir?
Well, in the church, was there an active practice of healing prayer and prophecy?
I didn't see it. Yeah, evangelism for sure. Of course, they welcome all the kids, and that tends to bring the parents, you know, along, so from the town. And so it was, I don't think it was a typical service because we didn't have communion, which surprised all of us. But it went on a long time. And I guess because of the dedication, they decided they weren't going to do that. It's either that or, as I said in the journal, I'm not sure that they have the money to be able to do communion all the time in that church. So most of the priests don't even have, you know, collars. They, you know, wouldn't know them. So I gave away all my clergy shirts, or all but two. And so they were wonderful. I have pictures of that, but I'm sorry they didn't come through. So very, very poor still, but this church is doing very well, and I think Father Wilson's doing a wonderful job with it. He's a very charismatic fella himself, and full of energy. And he was leading the worship pretty much. There were some other guys who used the sound system. The sound system was two African drums. That was it. But he led the a cappella worship, you know, with his drum, and he's just powerful, just powerful. So, again, maybe next week I can give you some more pictures, or afterwards sometime we can do that. Yes. Other questions that you think of? Anybody?
Father Chris,
yeah.
I know when my daughter went to Guatemala, the people had to walk to the clinic. And they would walk for days. Mm-hmm. Did you see that happening? And
yes.
Were they just lined up
yes.
lines forever?
Yeah. Yeah, and I had pictures of it. And that whole courtyard was full of people. When we got there, you know, and started working. So they were all there, and they spent all day. And, of course, it got really hot during the day, so it was not real pleasant for them as far as that goes. So they were pretty hot, and they finally got to see us, which could have taken hours, you know, but they did stay for that. And, yes, this clinic was free, no cost to anybody. The medicine was all free. And so they wanted to come to that, and they did. So we treat a lot of people, so, and everybody got some medicine for different things, and so I think that they were helped, put it that way. So that was kind of my adventure, and you have your own adventure, you know. We all do. Billy Graham had his adventure, and we have our adventures to go through. Adventures, I think, by definition mean that you don't know exactly what's going to happen next, but what it does mean is that you know who's in charge, that you have faith in the one who is in charge, and that you'll be able to walk it out in that faith, okay? The bishop's message, maybe you were here Friday night, you heard he talked about the most basic thing that we need to understand is that we are in Christ. And it's the same thing that I was talking to you about. If Jesus is the gift and we are in him, then we are the gift. We have everything we need because we are in Christ. We just have to discover those new things as we go along. Billy Graham was a gift to us, wasn't he? And a real strong witness to us. And you are a gift. And so you've got to pray for these people I certainly hope. I would go back to Africa tomorrow, believe me. And I certainly hope that Lord will allow me to go back again. The trip was obviously orchestrated completely by God, and so I won't try and force it to happen. But if he allows me to go back, I will go back anytime, believe me.
The bishop was recruiting for a trip he's going on in May.
Was he recruiting?
He's got four more spots. This one's actually going to refugee camps.
Yes. Huh? Yes. And they're going to kind of start in Kampala, and they're going to kind of go halfway across the country and then go north from the town called
Refugees
Fort Portal.
Came over from Sudan.
And, so they will be in some really unique and different areas. So that will be a powerful, powerful time. So apparently four more spaces, huh? Okay, for you strong prayer warriors who have strong constitutions as well. So, all right. Well, remember, you are the gift of God.